Okay, Acts chapter 4. We're going to continue, starting at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. But truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It's really exciting when you read through the book of Acts and you see the attitude of the apostles, their focus. It's so easily, when things are difficult, to be distracted. That's why I was really impressed when Heather was sharing how she was totally calm and just resting in the Lord when she was being interrogated. The other two girls were terrified. If they had the money, they would have given the money, even though that was like a bribe. But Heather was at peace because she knew her master was in control. And the apostles, throughout the book of Acts, you see their focus is completely on the Lord Jesus Christ, not on themselves. Their desire is to honor him, to make his name known among the people. And so as we look at the passage before us today, we realize, first of all, the report that they gave. It tells us in verse 23 that after being let go, they went to their own companions and reported what all the chief priests and elders had said. If you remember last time we were looking at the first part of Acts chapter 4, the apostles, Peter and John, went to the temple at the hour of prayer, the evening sacrifice, about 3:30 in the afternoon. And as they went to enter the temple, there was a lame man sitting at the gate who had been lame since birth. He's now over 40 years of age, never walked in his life, and he's looking for alms, for donations. And Peter and John look at him and respond and say, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have we give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And it wasn't something that was slow and gradual, it was instant. This lame man stood right up and started walking. In fact, it tells us that he was leaping and praising God for what had been done. And then during this period of time, God used these signs, these wonders, these miracles to get the people's attention. Over 5,000 men, women, and children had gathered to find out how this had happened. And Peter and John used that time to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the testimony that this man was healed not because of them, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he could do. That he was alive, that he was raised from the dead. And so the focus was on the Lord. The military or the temple police and the priests that were doing the sacrifices were not pleased with what was happening. And so they came and they took Peter and John and they held them in custody overnight so that the next morning the Sanhedrin could gather together and the rulers and the elders of the people, the who's who of the Jewish nation, could gather together to find out truly what's going on. And so Peter and John is reporting in detail all that has happened. They went to their companions. And we really see the importance of fellowship with other believers, those who are committed. In Acts chapter 4, we realize that over 5,000 men came to know Christ as a result of Peter and John's message. They realized all the prophecies that they had shared was true, that Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies, that he was the Messiah, the Savior. He wasn't gathering with those 5,000. He was gathering with those who were in the upper room, those who were with Christ at the end. And his closest companions were those who were really committed to following the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ecclesiastes, it tells us that two are better than one. Because if one falls, the other is there to pick him up, to help keep him from falling. And fellowship is extremely important. And it's important that we have friends, co-workers, family members. But our closest and best friends should be those who are committed to Jesus Christ. They are the ones who can build us up and to encourage us in the faith and to keep us keeping on. And so as Peter and John are sharing all that has taken place, they share about what the chief priests, the elders of Israel, had said to them, that they were told to no more speak. They were not permitted to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. They shared their response. You be the judge. Is it right for us to obey God or you? And their response boldly was, and respectfully, is that we must obey God. We have to keep teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. I mentioned last time that the chief priests, they were trying to intimidate Peter and John, just like this priest was trying to intimidate Heather. But in the context of the passage, they were told that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave them boldness. Remember, the people that they are standing before are the very ones who condemned Jesus Christ to death. If they were to allow themselves to think about who these men were and what position they held, they could have very easily succumbed to that temptation to be submissive, to be secretive, and to hold back. But their focus was not on the circumstances, not in the trial, the threats that were made against them. Their focus was on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see in verse 23 that they gave the report. In verse 24 and on, we see the response to what they've heard. And this is the response of all the Christians who have gathered together in this room to hear this report. It says in verse 24, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. So their first reaction to what they have heard is to be united in prayer. They turn to the Lord and pray. And look what they say. They said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. The word for God means the supreme one. The one who stands alone. No one can compare with God. And the word Lord in the Greek means the absolute master. It is only used 6 times in the New Testament. And it's used here to say Lord is the supreme and absolute master. Now, a lot of times we talk about moral absolutes today and how the world distances. They don't believe in moral absolutes. And the reason they don't believe in moral absolutes is they don't believe in an absolute God. A God that we sing about is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word doesn't change. So they begin their prayer with praise. They praise God for who he is. He's the mighty creator who created all things. He's the sovereign Lord of all. That's why they're not terrified. They're not afraid because they have a big God. And they're focusing on who He is. And not only do they focus on who He is, but they focus on what He says. Look at verse 25. Who by the mouth of your servant David have said. So they're focusing on Psalms chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. They quote that verse in their prayer. Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain or empty things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. That was a prophecy from Psalms chapter 2. Peter and John and the believers gathered together are realizing that this prophecy has happened right now in their lives. The nations rose up against the Lord and against His Christ. Herod and Pilate represented the Gentile nations, and of course the Jewish leaders. They all rejected the Messiah. But this is not the final fulfillment of that prophecy. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. We'll just be part of the portion. Verse 13. It says, these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are called chosen and faithful. And so all the nations of the world at this period of time, towards the end of the tribulation period, will gather together with the beast to seek to prevent the Lord Jesus Christ from coming back to the earth. They're going to wage war with Him. And we know that He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. Nobody can overcome His power. He's the Almighty One. And so, during the time of Christ, the religious leaders, they kind of wiped their hands saying, it's finished, we've done it. We've gotten rid of this troublemaker, this false Christ, as they thought. They even went to the Roman authorities and asked for guards to be set at the tomb to secure it so nobody could steal His body, that no one can prove that He rose from the dead. And by that act, they proved it. What they sought to prevent, they could not. Even though they knew the prophecy that Jesus gave that destroyed this body in 3 days and I will raise it up. And raise it up, He did. On the third day, He rose from the dead. That's why when the apostles were standing before these religious leaders, they could very clearly pronounce, very boldly say, with complete confidence, that neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. He's the mighty Lord, the absolute Master. When we pray, do we pray like this? Now, a lot of times, especially with the children, when we're praying every evening, what we tend to do when we pray is we pray and we petition God. We ask God for things. Help me with this. Help me with that. Keep me safe. Protect me. Not one time did you hear that in the apostles, in these Christians' prayers. They start their prayer with praise. And so should we. We should be pondering the greatness of our God. They do petition the Lord at the end of the prayer. The majority of the time praying is focusing on who he is and what he said. But at the end of the prayer, they share a petition. They realize that everything that has happened with the Lord Jesus Christ and with their own lives, the threats that have been made against them, are all in God's hands. Before we go into the petition, in verse 28, they acknowledge that God is allowed to do whatever his hand, what your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. We could take time and we can look at a lot of the prophecies, a lot of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that I have come not to do my will, but the will of my Father in heaven. And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was in anguish of heart, realizing the time had come that he was going to have to suffer, that all the sins of the world would be on him. And he prayed for the Lord to take this cup from him. And yet he prefaced that by saying, not my will, but thine be done. Even when he was hanging on the cross, the chief priests, the religious leaders, even the two thieves that were on the cross with him, they mocked him. The Roman soldiers mocked him. The chief priest said, if you truly are the Christ, come down from the cross and we will believe in you. And we know that would not have caused them to believe anyways. They were determined to reject him. And we realize, as we mentioned last time, that was because of selfish reasons. They wanted to protect their power and their possessions. They were more concerned about the material than the spiritual. And when you live in a materialistic world, it's very easy to be caught up with those things. So it's so constantly, and that's why the breaking of bread meeting is so important for us to take time out of our busy weeks to just be still and to reflect on what he's done for us. The chief priests, when they mocked him, they said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If you truly are the Redeemer, come down. And we know that he could not be the Redeemer if he came down. He had to die. There was no other way that man could be redeemed. No other way that man could be forgiven of their sin. And Jesus Christ paid it all. So they rejected him. In the future, the nations will reject him. But we know that all who come to him can be saved. It's whosoever will come. In Psalms chapter 76, don't turn there, verse 10, it says, the wrath of mankind shall praise him. And I was thinking of that because the man's wrath sought to discredit and prevent the Lord from doing what he came to do. So even their wrath brings praise to God because God knew from the very beginning that they would reject him. It's prophesied in the Old Testament. God knows history. It's his story. He knows the response, the attitudes that people will have. And so as they focus on the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wise God, then at the end of their prayer, they petition him in verse 29. And they pray and they say, now Lord, that's the same word, my absolute master. Look on their threats and grant that your servants, that with all boldness, they may speak your word. And I kept thinking, if I was in a situation like this, I'd be praying, Lord, protect me. Lord, give me a safe place to hide. They don't pray that. They simply pray for the Lord to give them boldness, confidence to continue to speak, to continue to share God's word. There's nothing wrong with being afraid. Fear is a human emotion. And I'm sure they were also experiencing some anxiety, wondering what's going to happen. But they realized that they had a great God. A God that could give them the strength they need. The God that could protect them because He was the supreme master. He was the sovereign Lord. He was in control of everything that's happening. His will be done. And it is good and acceptable. It's perfect. Even when things go difficult, when things are hard, sometimes people feel when they go through difficulties that it's not God's will for them to be there, to be in that situation. That's not the case. Sometimes the Lord's power is revealed in difficulties. And for sure, it causes us to trust Him and to look to Him for the strength that we need. So they pray for boldness to continue to speak God's word, to continue to share the gospel with the people of Jerusalem and the surrounding areas as they fulfill the Great Commission. Not only do they pray for boldness to speak, but they also mention by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. This is the third time in Acts chapter 4 that he talks about your holy servant Jesus. The word servant in the Greek means representative. We mentioned last time that what they are saying is that Jesus Christ was the perfect representative of God. He was God in the flesh. And God allowed those terrible things to happen to him so he could be that perfect sacrifice when he died on the cross for our sins. So their desire is that he would continue to get the attention of the people by doing these miracle gifts of healings and signs. When it happened the day before in the temple, over 5,000 gathered just to hear. And the religious leaders, based on Deuteronomy chapter 5, I think it is, they were responsible to bring in the person to find out who and by what means this miracle had been performed. These signs were given to cause the people to realize that Peter and John and the apostles were the messengers and the spokespersons for God. They were to be listened to. They were to be obeyed and submitted. They were to be honored. And wherever the apostles went, people gathered. They wanted to hear the word of God. They just didn't want to hear religious phrases or religious ideas. They wanted to get to the truth of the matter, what those words meant, how they were fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the symbolism in the tabernacle, in the temple, all those symbols pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they forgot that over the centuries. And they just became rituals. They lost the meaning, the purpose of their fellowship with God. They missed out on that relationship that they could know God personally. They could experience His comfort, His peace, His power in their lives by simply focusing on Him and realizing who He was and what He says. And John tells us that if we pray and we ask anything in His name, He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, He would do it. Praying for boldness was according to God's will. Immediately they received the answer to their prayer. In verse 31, it says, when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the third time now in the book of Acts where it tells us that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned the last time that that word filled means to be controlled by. They yielded themselves and allowed the Spirit of God to control them, to guide the thoughts, to give them the words to share, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It wasn't them, it was the Lord doing it through them. All the Lord asks of us is to be a yielded vessel, a vessel available for Him to use. And we can get caught so much in the day-to-day details of our lives that we're not aware of His presence. We're not sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit to share a verse or word of Scripture to someone in need, someone that's hurting. We have the privilege of being able to have this close and intimate relationship with Him as we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just the beginning of our walk with Him. It's a moment-by-moment, day-by-day relationship. That's why so many times we say that we don't have religion. Times people ask me, well, what's your religion? Or what denomination are you? And I simply say, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I desire to walk with Him and know Him. I have a relationship. I don't have a religion. Religion is man working their way to God and trying to appease Him. You know, this goes all against the politicians, the governments of the world. All the governments of the world want to teach tolerance and that there are many ways. Everyone has their own way. You know, when we first started homeschooling our children with Jedediah, like 23 years ago, people were very concerned about the social aspect. Oh, they won't have social contact with other children. But at chapel, they do. With neighbors, they do. They realize, well, that's not a problem. They turn out socially acceptable and adjusted very well. So then they change their attacks on homeschooling to, well, they're not being taught the right things. Parents aren't taught how to teach. They need to be trained and educated to teach. And then they realize, well, now these homeschoolers who graduated from high school go on to college and they surpass all their peers. They had a very good education, they're doing very well. And now, just in the past 6 months, a year or so, they've changed their tactic in criticizing homeschooling and also Christian schools and private schools, saying that they don't teach tolerance. They teach moral absolutes. So we have to outlaw homeschooling and private schools so that we can teach children tolerance, to accept everybody, that everybody's way is okay for them. And you can't criticize or judge someone based on that. So that's the new attack against homeschooling and private schools as well. But they want to say, well, there's many ways. Everybody can be right with God. They just have their own way. But Jesus Christ is the supreme master, the absolute master of the universe. He's the creator of all. He has given us His word, the truth. And we respectfully, just like Peter and John, we will uphold the truth of God's word. Sometimes it won't be accepted very readily. But we respectfully, Peter and John never rebelled, never demeaned, or never spoke in anger. They simply repeated what God had revealed to them, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they could say there's salvation in no other. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. God's word is true. We need to pray for boldness, that we too might speak the word of God and not be intimidated. But it starts with focusing on who God is and what He said. That's why our relationship with Him has to be maintained day by day. We can't just be fed on Sundays. We need to be fed each day of the week. We need to feed ourselves. We need to spend time pondering the greatness of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You for the testimony of Peter and John, for the attitude of the believers. We realize that we get so caught up, we get distracted so easily, and it's so important that we not focus on our circumstances, but we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, that's why the breaking of bread meeting is so precious. We're not focusing on the tunes of the music, the melodies. We're focusing on the words. We're focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and remembering what He's done for us. Because His life was not lived for Himself. He was a servant. He lived His life for us. He died for us. And Father, the greatest sacrifice that we could give to the Lord Jesus Christ is to be a living sacrifice, to live our lives, not being influenced by the culture or the reasonings of mankind, but to live our life focused on the Lord, who He is, what He has said, what He has done, and what we need to do for Him. Help us, Father, to be sensitive to the promptings of Your Holy Spirit, that we would be available for You to use to share a word of encouragement, a word of comfort, to share Your word with others. Help us, Father, to be yielded and available for You to use. And our desire is that Jesus Christ would be glorified through it all. And help us, Father, to live our lives day by day, that they would see Jesus Christ in us, that would attract them to want to know more, to want to know Him. Help us, Father, to be salt and light to the world around us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.